In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, you probably noticed I don't have any acolytes here today. Ben and Emma are at grandparents, being spoiled this week, as they tend to do. We were up in Jackson County, West Virginia, which is where Jennifer and I are from, going to our class reunion. It was our 20th class reunion. We tried not to use that 20 term too much, but we were small in number. We gathered there, and we were sitting around this big table having a meal and sharing stories from back whenever we were in high school. And one of the stories that I had shared was, it came up, that calling one end of Jackson County from the other back in the 80s and 90s was long distance. So if you wanted to talk to one of your friends that lived at the other end of the county, you had to wait until after 8 in order to do so. Even if you had a class project or something, Mom and Dad was not about to let those long-distance charges rack up. And so we knew that because I lived at the southern end of Jackson County, Jennifer lived at the northern end, and my standard joke was that because my family was so large, I had to go to the other end of the county to find someone I could legally marry. We were talking about that, and I remembered an old commercial. Remember, reach out and touch somebody? Remember that one? What company was that for? AT&T. Who sang that jingle on TV? Huh? Diana Ross. That's your useless trivia for today. Diana Ross sang that. To me, it's somehow comforting to know that even major celebrities have bills that they have to pay, right? Anyway, reach out and touch somebody. And all I could think of was, what a beautiful slogan for the lesson that we had today from the gospel. We have this weird story. It starts out, Jesus is going to go heal this guy's daughter, and then it gets interrupted. Now, in biblical narrative criticism, that's called an intercalation. It's one story sandwiched inside of another, and it happens a few times, especially in Mark. And so Jesus is on his way to do this, and then something else happens. But it's fascinating because in each one of these scenarios, there are things that are connected between the two. Jesus is going about doing the things that Jesus does, healing people, right? He's going, he's doing this, and then something else happens. This woman who has been suffering for years because of some sort of blood issue, it doesn't exactly say what, and scholars, I read about this week, they were going back and forth on what it could possibly be, and physicians with, you know, who fancy themselves as theologians were pontificating on what it might possibly be. But in any event, the fact that this individual was discharging blood in some capacity made her ritually impure. She could not go to the temple. She could not offer sacrifices. She could not actually live with her husband if she had one. And she couldn't marry if she didn't have one beforehand. Okay? She really was a desperate individual, an outcast in the society in which she lived. And she had this amazing faith. And all she thought was, all I have to do is just reach out and I don't have to even touch him. I just have to touch something close to him. That connection to Jesus is going to fix my problem. It's going to heal me. It's going to give me something that all of these doctors and all of these prayers and all of these other things that I have attempted for myself have not actually effectively done. I need Jesus. I just need to be close to Jesus. And she reaches out and she touches him. And I believe that she had no idea that Jesus himself would be fully aware that a miracle had happened at that moment. Jesus turns around and he says, "Who touched me?" And the disciples are like, "Well, who knows? There's a bunch of people here." Jesus knew someone was there who needed him. Now the woman, it says she fell with trembling and fear before him whenever she realized he'd stopped and knew something had happened. The fact that she would have touched someone would have also made them ritually impure. So she was now afraid that she had, messed up Jesus' ministry for the next week. But Jesus is completely ignoring that possibility. And he just says, your faith has made you well. It was a congratulations, not an admonition. It was a congratulations. You reached out to me, and you are well. Then the story continues. Jesus winds up at the synagogue leader's house, and the girl is already dead. 12-year-old girl has died. All the women in the family are wailing outside. The thought of losing a child is horrifying to anyone who is a parent. And you just feel the anguish that must have been going on at the scene at that time. But Jesus doesn't seem to be troubled. He marches on up there through this crowd, sort of dismissively in a way. Don't worry about it. And he goes up. And instead of this little girl or the family physically reaching out, Jesus reaches out. This time in this story, Jesus reaches his hand out. Talitha kum, little girl, get up. Calling on her, little girl. It was a diminutive. It was like just this familiar tone to this child who, by all accounts, he would have never met before. And he reaches out. God himself reaches out. And from death pulls this little girl. She rises. And then he's like, feed her. She's hungry, right? What 12-year-old isn't hungry? At least 12-year-old boys. I know that from the grocery bill at my house. Jesus has reached out. This isn't a story of us reaching out. This isn't a story of this woman who had the blood issue reaching out. This is a story of God himself reaching out to us. I think that this is fascinating, first and foremost, because whether or not we are willing or able to reach out to God, I believe that this story tells us God is always reaching out to us, calling us to life. Calling us to newness, calling us to hope, calling us to resurrection, bringing us a little closer to that which we pray in the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, bringing us a little closer to that love that we all desire to experience, filling in that God-shaped hole that exists in all of our hearts. God is always reaching forward. We don't always reach out to God. Sometimes we reach out to the other things, the material things in this world that we think will give us happiness, think will give us wholeness, think will make us better. But in reality, the only thing that can cure the ill of the human soul is that love of God. We can't fill that God-shaped hole with anything else. And when we think that we have gone too far, when we think
got
that
mail.
We are no longer within God's reach or God's love or God's care, when we think we have passed all hope and our relationship with him is dead, there he is, reaching out his hand to us. Little girl, little boy, get up. Get up and live. Live the life that you were called to live. Live it in me and through me. What a powerful testimony it is to know that God reaches forth to us and we can always reach out to him. In this coming week, and in the weeks and years even to come, I hope that you never forget that God's hand is always extended to us, an invitation to grace and to peace. And if God is willing to extend that to us in our brokenness, I hope that we can extend life and hope and peace to our brothers and sisters around us. Amen.